This is on Point Break here.
The title of this session is Operating the Personal Studies for New Christians Classes. And what we would like to do is, in this time, try to tie together some of the things that have been talked about in some of the other workshops and explain what actually happens in the classroom on a typical day. And what I want to do is just go through what you would do if you had a new student in class that day and just take it right on through. Also, I'll be mentioning very briefly some of the other things that we've talked about in the other sessions, such as grading and how that all fits in here. We're going to have a separate workshop that deals with student learning contracts, so I will hardly talk about that at all. But I'd like to talk about what actually takes place if you walked into a classroom on a particular day. One of these days, we're going to do a videotape in a classroom and have all this there for you to see, but today we're going to have to just settle for me talking about it and as well as our panel discussing it. But let's say it's 9 o'clock in the morning and it's class time and you're in the classroom and your students are there. What do you do first? First of all, what we recommend is that you have an opening exercise time. Now, from one center to another, they will have different things in there. But here's just a few things that you can include in this opening exercise time. How much time are we talking about? It may be just a couple of minutes, or it may be as long as 5 or 10 or 15 minutes once in a while. But just to make some opening comments, maybe you have a scripture of the month that you want to have your students share. Everybody repeat together. If you have any new students, this would be a good time to introduce them to the whole class and have the whole class clap and welcome them. You may want to use this time to hand out the congratulations slips for the work that the students have completed. Some centers only do that once a week or three times a week or whatever, rather than every day. Another thing that can be included in this opening exercise time is you may have students who are going to be doing a book report. They finished reading a book, and so you want to have them do a book report in front of the whole class. This would be a good time to have that done. And then any other announcements that you want to incorporate or to give at this time could be incorporated into the opening exercises. So we're talking about a very brief time just to get them going. One of the things that I feel can be done in the personal studies opening exercises is to sort of set the tone for the class. You as a teacher, if you come into the class and you have enthusiasm and you're excited about what's happening and that is communicated with enthusiasm, that may help some of your students who are a little bit down in the dumps and, oh, no, another day of class. But if you can sort of spark their enthusiasm, have a word of prayer, and then get things going with a positive attitude, it can help the students as they get started with their classes. Now, let's say we're finished with the opening exercises and we're ready to begin class or have the students begin their regular work. What I normally try to do is have students take their final tests right at the beginning, get that done. If I have a new student in the program, I would normally talk to them first and get them started. But let's just for a moment talk about the testing procedures. Let's say we have 4 students that have a final test that they have to take. Now, let me refer to our drawing of the classroom here. The student offices are around the outside of the room, and everybody would be working at their own desk. And ideally, what we're suggesting is that you have a table in the middle or a desk or something where the students can come and sit down and take their test. So let's say that we have this table, so we're going to bring 1 or 2 students over here to sit down and take their test. We talked in one of the other sessions about having a 5-level stack tray. And the top level is the 2-test file. So we would go into that file and we would take out the lesson with the final test clipped right to it of the student that is going to be taking a test. Let's say that it's Dan here who's going to be taking his test. So what I would do is I would take his test, I would give it to him, and I would take his lesson and stick it in the testing folder. Now remember, we have 4 students that we're going to be taking tests. So his is in the testing folder. The remaining students are still up there. Their tests are still up here in the 2-test file. When Dan is finished with his test, I would take his final test, I would put it back with his lesson that's in the testing folder, and then I would put all of that down in the tested level of the file here. Then I would get the next student and get him started on his test and so forth. Now, I would not grade those tests at this point. I would simply stick them down here in the tested folder, and then after class today, I'll grade those tests. So let's say we've got the testing all done, and then it's business as usual in terms of going around from student to student in their different offices and assisting them as they are coming up with questions and coming to stop points in their lessons. Now, I want to take a minute. No, it'll take more than a minute, a few minutes, and talk about what you do if you have a new student in the class. And we're going to use Dan here as our new student. And hopefully we won't have too many flies here to compete with us as we go through this. One of the things that I would do, first of all, is just give them a very brief explanation of what the personal studies classes are all about. And how much you want to include in that is up to you. But just to briefly explain that this is the personal studies class I'm in. In the personal studies classes, what you do is you work on your lessons at your own pace here. And there's a number of different lessons that you'll be working on. And if you have any questions, just contact me. Now, I'm going to have you make a flag here in just a minute, which we use as a way of signaling the teacher that you need one of the teachers to talk to you. But first of all, what I'd like to have you do is fill out this student information sheet. Now, unfortunately, I've already stapled it in the student folder here, so I'm just going to leave it in there. But all this has is a place for them to fill out their name, today's date, your age, the last grade you completed in school, the last year you were in school, your home address, and your marital status, and how many children you have. This would only take a couple minutes for them to fill out. Do we really need another form to have them fill out? Well, my reason for wanting this is because my memory is very poor. And it's very helpful for me to have this information right there in the classroom in case I want to check on it. But it will only take him a couple, 3 minutes to get started on this. And then I'll keep an eye on him as he's filling this out. And as soon as he's finished, I'll just come over and ask him if he had any questions with it. If not, I'll just thank him and take it. Then I would say, as I mentioned before, in this classroom, and let's pretend that this is the wall of the room, and he's facing towards the wall. In other words, he's sitting right here looking into the wall, and I'm right here beside him talking to him. And I should be down at his level, so I'll get down at his level. What we do is we have students make flags. Now, here's an example of a flag that another student made. Just give him a blank sheet of paper. This is an index card grade. It's a 5x7 sheet or something like that. And all it is it's just taped onto a little dowel. So you're looking at very, very minimum investment in money here. And you just get this blank sheet of paper, give them a few magic markers, more than two colors, and just tell them, look, make a flag, put on anything you want to, of course, using, you know, a certain amount of judgment there. And then what you do is whenever you need a teacher's assistance, you just stick this up in this little hole here on the top of your office, and then that will signal me or any of the other teachers that you need to talk to us. Say when you come to, in your lessons, you come to a place where you have a question or you come to a place where it says stop, have your teacher sign here, just put your flag up, and then we'll come over and help you out. Or anytime you have any question or you're confused or you don't know what to do, just put your flag up. And that way, if we're in the room talking to somebody else and we can just quickly look around, we can see if anybody else, such as you, is needing to talk to us. So that's just our way of, instead of you having to raise your hand and say, hey, teacher, which can be very distracting once in a while. So let me just show you a couple of flags that other students have made. Here's a nice patriotic one. Here's one that says answers. Jesus loves us all. Praise the Lord. Here's a nice one. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Just what we want in class, right? No. We had a couple from Puerto Rico who were expressing their interest in the program, in their background. Anyhow, you have them make that flag. It may take, they may spend a few minutes at it. Then what we do is we have the student start with Project 301. We've already talked about this in some of the other sessions, so I'm not going to go into great detail. You've probably already looked at it yourself as you've gone through this teacher certification course. But Project 301 is the first thing we have him do. I would give it to him, I'd explain it to him, have him work through it, and that may be the only thing he'll get done this first day. That's all right. Encourage him. Don't worry about using flowery language. Just put down your own ideas on here and just do your best. If they finish Project 301 and there still is a fair amount of time and you want to get them started on Lesson 1 or Lesson 101, that's fine. Go ahead and get them started on that. Excuse me. And then explain to them how to do Lesson 101. In other words, show them the... In fact, let me get a copy of this out. I would not give the student this whole notebook, but that lesson happens to be in here, and so in the interest of time, I'll just turn to it. As you here's some instructions here for you to read. But basically what you're going to be doing is just reading through the page. Reading through the page. Get down here on the level of the student, please. Read through the page, and then you come to a place where it says questions for you to answer. And just write in the answers. Many of these, you can find the answers as you go back up here. Some of the questions, like this one over here, in your opinion, it will ask for your opinions. Or some questions ask for personal examples from your own past. Obviously, there's no right or wrong answer there. Just put down your own opinions. And then you see down here at the bottom of page 3, it says stop. Have your teacher sign here before doing any more work on this lesson. And so what we'll do at that point, that's when you'd put your flag up. I would come over and I'll discuss with you, see how things are going, if you have any questions or problems. And then I'll sign that and then you can go on with your work. But when you come to these stop points, don't just go right on. You stop, put your flag up, and we'll come over and help you out. So give them an introduction to Lesson 101. Briefly explain to them what they're doing and then go ahead and let them get started on it. If it takes more than 15 minutes for them to get to that first top point, stop by and check and see if they're running into problems. Because it's only 3 pages long, it's not that much work, and they should be able to get, they should be making a fair amount of progress within that time period. And if they're still on page 1 after 15 minutes, then I would just stop in and say, how's it going? And just see if they're running into major problems. Now, they may be very self-conscious and not want to tell you, look, I don't even know how to read. I don't understand what I'm supposed to be doing here. So just sort of set them at ease and explain to them that we want them to go through this and do their best and to get a better idea of, you know, a good idea of what's going on. We're interested in them understanding these biblical truths. That's really what we're after. We're not looking for speed. And we're not looking for slowness. You know, that's not the issue. What the issue is here is helping this student, guiding this student, directing this student as they begin to discover what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So those are the lessons they would be started with. They would start with Lesson 101. And let's just say that they did finish Lesson 101. Now, we talked about this before, and I just want to mention it very briefly. Coming over here to our picture of the classroom, let's say that they finished the lesson. I would have them come over to the grading table. I would explain to them how to use the answer key, show them where to find the answer key for that particular lesson, and have them grade it. And I would probably stay right there with them on their first lesson. After that, they would come back to their desk, and if they want to study some more for the self-test and take the self-test that day, fine. If they want to get started on some of their other, they wouldn't at this point if they're a new student. I would probably have them go ahead and take their self-test then as soon as they're ready. Now, they may want to study some more before they take the self-test, or they may want to go ahead and take it right away, whatever. Go ahead, and the next major thing would be to have them take the self-test on this lesson. Again, they would come over to the testing table to take that self-test, then move over to the grading table to grade it. And then let's say that they finish that and there's still time in the class session. Maybe we're into the second or third day already. After they finish Lesson 101, then I like to get them started on the scripture memorization class with their first verse. So I would give them the student manual for the scripture memorization class. I would explain to them what to do, what the class is all about, have them read through that student manual, because there are some questions there for them to answer. And then we would go on. I would give them their first verse, give them the blank copy of the scripture memorization class worksheet, and get them started in that work. Once they have finished that first verse with all of the requirements that go with that, I would, after they finish their first verse, I would give them their second lesson, which would be lesson 102, which is a new look at life. No, that's not what it is. Yes, it is, a new look at life, which is basically presents the plan of salvation. After completing I would give them lesson 102, and at the same time, I would also give them their second scripture verse to get them going on two things at a time. And then gradually over the next few days, depending on how well they're doing or how easy it is for them to grasp these kinds of materials, I would get them also started on a character quality. So at that point, they might be working on three different activities and eventually also reading a Christian book, working on four different things. Now, that might take 2 to 3 weeks before they're working on all four different kinds of lessons in the personal studies class time. Now, let me back up and just mention very briefly one other thing. In one of our previous workshops, we talked about the daily goal sheet, where a student sets goals for what work they're going to be working on tomorrow. Dan mentioned at their center what they do at the end of their first day. They sit down with that student and they briefly explain what that is for and how to use it, and they get them started from the very beginning using that daily goal sheet. Now you think, well, tomorrow they're only going to be working on one thing. Well, that's okay. Introduce the concept now, and they start right from the very beginning. If you wait till, well, let's just wait till they get a whole bunch of things going all at once, and then we'll introduce it, and it can just make additional problems at that point. So get them started from the very beginning using that, and you'll find that it will help you and help them as well to begin to organize their time. Now, let me see what else we want to cover here at this point in terms of getting a new student started. I think that probably covers it quite well. I want to mention a couple of things regarding, let's say we've got our new student going and everything is fine, and we're devoting our attention now to all of the students that are in the classroom. And hopefully you're not the only teacher in there. Let's assume you have more than 5 or 6 students. Let's say you have 8 or 10 students. You really need to have, especially in an induction center, you need to have 2 teachers in that classroom if you have more than 5 students. Because if you get into a conversation with one student and all of a sudden 2 or 3 other students put up their flag because they need to talk to the teacher, it just makes it very difficult, because then you're torn between, well, do I just tell the student, oh, I'll talk to you later, and it might be 15 minutes before you get back to him? Or, whereas if you have 2 teachers, you can cover for each other. If one person gets involved in a conversation, the other teacher can be going around and assisting some of the other students who have their flags up. Let me organize my thoughts here for a second. With this classroom setup, if you have them on the top of their student office, if you have a little hole drilled in the top of that divider and they can put their flag up, then it's very easy for you, if you're talking to a student over here, just to very quickly pan your eyes around the room to see if anybody else has their flag up. Let's say you realize you're in a situation where this might take 5 or 10 minutes for me to really go through this. Well, if you have another teacher in the room and there aren't any other flags, then, oh, no problem. I can just go right ahead and work on this. But if you see that there's 4 or 5 other people that have their flags up, and you already know that the other teacher in the classroom is involved in something, then you can say, look, just keep your flag up here. I'll be back to you in a few minutes, and we'll carry on with this. But having these flags can really make it easy for you just to see what's happening in the classroom. Now, let's say that all the students are busily working and there isn't anything that needs your immediate attention. So what should you do? Sit down, kick back, pull out your book and continue reading, or start grading papers? Now, let me give you a suggestion of what one center has established as a policy. In fact, more than one center has established this as part of their policy. And that is, they do not want their teachers to sit down at their desk and just sort of vegetate until something happens. You might look around and see if there's any student that has not put their flag up. Let's say you're 45 minutes into the class period and there's one particular student who appears to be working, but you realize that that you haven't talked to him, and you check with the other teacher, he hasn't talked or she hasn't talked to that student either. Maybe just go by and just check in and see how things are going. Ask them if they have any questions or problems. Check to see if they are really working on their work, and maybe they are. If they are, that's fine. But let's just say that you've done all of that, and there still is nothing really pressing to do right now. What one center has done, which I think is a great idea, is the teachers then, just as they walk around the classroom slowly, or maybe they're just standing in one spot, they begin in their mind to very quietly pray for each student, just going right around the classroom and just praying that God will really touch them as they work on those lessons. Really, the bottom line in the personal studies classes is not the brilliance of the teacher or the brilliance of the person who put these lessons together or how beautiful is the classroom. The bottom line really is Jesus Christ working in their lives. The power of the Holy Spirit transforming that person is what's really going to count for eternity. Now, God uses all these other things. He uses the teacher. He uses, the facilities. You know, those are all part of this process. But if we can recognize our limitations and really begin to use that as an opportunity to pray for these students, it can help us in our attitude as teachers to not get bored with what's going on, with not having anything. And maybe you think, man, I got 20 other things I need to do as soon as class is done. Man, boy, you know, I got 10 minutes here, nothing's going on. Wow, you know, man, I could have been doing this, I could have been doing that. When you're in class, you're in class. All these other things, just put them on a shelf and just leave them. And for right now, we are devoting ourselves to assisting these students in every way we can. What I'd like to do at this point is open up to the panel and give them an opportunity to share with us some of the things that they use as they are involved in the operation, the daily operation of their personal studies classes. So I'll let them raise any questions they want to at this point or make any comments.
One of the things I would mention about our classroom is that we have a policy that the teachers don't leave the classroom either. And unless there's, and unfortunately our classroom doesn't have a file cabinet and the materials are not in the classroom, so if they need to go to their office and get some, we try to have that. We try to bring everything we need to the classroom before class starts. But just to go out of the classroom and go to the office and see who's in there or talk to someone visiting, we don't want that happening. With our student offices or study carrels, ours are portable, made out of cardboard, and so what we do is we use a large paper clip and clip the flag to the cardboard, and when they have a question, they just flip it up, and when they don't, they just lower it and take it with them at the end of the class period so it doesn't get lost. One other thing I might mention is that sometimes a student may not agree with the grading that the teacher has done on a paper or in the course of a conversation over a goal or something. The student may want to get in an argument. And I try to encourage the staff to refrain from pursuing a debate. We don't want arguments in the classroom or outside the classroom. That makes for a very poor learning atmosphere, puts everybody on a tense, gets everybody tense. And I say, if you see it coming, back off and take care of that after class. Or come up to them after class and say, you know, I noticed that you were getting uptight when we were talking about this. And pursue a discussion at that point.
I'd like to just mention about flags. We use the flags in our center. But one thing that I've done is we had some flags that were already made up, and some of them were just little American flags. But some of them were broke, and so we started buying some dowels and having guys make their own flag, and they really enjoyed that. It was something that they really took their time at working on, but came up with some very creative ideas and some scripture verses that I had never seen before that they would put on their flags. And I find that it's a way for a student to express themselves that they normally don't have opportunity to. And it's their own individual, personal flag. And some of them also, we allow our students to put up just a couple of pictures in their student office. And I know that I have students coming to me all the time, can I put this picture up, or can I put this up in my office? Because they consider that their own private desk, and they really really enjoy having their own private little place there to study. And even though there isn't much that they can call their own in the whole center, that's one place that is their own, and we like to keep it that way. We like to stress the fact that that's their private desk there. Another thing I like to just mention is that it's important as a teacher that we stress courtesy in the classroom and quiet, because it's so easy for a loose atmosphere to develop. Guys will come in and talking, or they'll try to, I've seen them where they try to bring candy in, or eating candy at their desk, even though we have rules prohibiting that. It's important that we keep the atmosphere, and it's important that as a teacher that we stress that and try to keep our conversation quiet. I know it's so easy to start talking with another teacher about something during class and allow our voice levels to start to rise, and we need to keep a quiet atmosphere there and set the example as a teacher.
That was really good. I want to say that I like to, start out with prayer in the beginning of class, and kind of give the students an expectation that something might happen while they're studying their lessons. So I've told them, go ahead and just bow your head and pray. If God is speaking to you about something in particular, if He's, if God is, God may reveal something about your past, or really reveal His forgiveness or something while you're doing a lesson, just go ahead and bow your head and pray, because nobody could see you anyways, only the teacher. Or if you want a teacher to pray with you, just feel free to ask the teacher to pray with you right then and there. And if necessary, we'll go outside if it's something really personal. But I like, and I also, would like the other monitors or staff members to give that expectation that something dynamic might happen in the classroom. And I think that also gives a feeling of respect, to being quiet. And there was one other thing that I like to, we have a lot of rules in the PACE class. You have to, keep seated, looking straight forward. You're not allowed to bring candy or gum in. And all those are necessary, and we uphold those rules. But I like to not give as many disciplines in the class, because I like it to be, they kind of get away from the strictness, and just kind of feel at ease in the classroom. Just so that it's not as rigid, and they feel just free to get into their work, and it's a place that they will come and enjoy reading about the Lord and working on their own lives. So I try not to give as many disciplines. I mean, sometimes you have to, but those are the kinds of atmosphere things that I like to set.
That's good. One other thing I'd like to add to what Chris just said, and I think you mentioned it in previous tape, I really try to get the guys to share a testimony of what God has done or is doing in their lives in the beginning of class. I have a short prayer time with them and hand out congratulation slips every day when something, I try to correct their stuff every day and have it every day so that I'm not getting behind. And then I just try to have the guys share anything that the Lord has done in their lives. And it's been really good. There's been some times, you always have your times when maybe nobody shares anything, but there have been some really incredible things that even through PACE and through other things that the Lord is doing in their lives. And I think it's really good for people to get in the habit, guys get in the habit, girls get in the habit of sharing their growth because it encourages the other people to want to grow. Wow, look at this person, they're growing, and what God's done in their lives, and if they, God can do that in their life, then He can do it in my life. And it has been a very encouraging time, even for me, to hear what the Lord's doing, some personal things God will share. So that's one thing I'd like to do.
I would like to just comment also on what Christy said. I firmly believe that the classroom should be a place where it's more of a refuge than a battlefield in terms of working for change through authoritative rules. To give you an example, I was in one center where they had a rule that if you left your flag up after the teacher talked to you, that you would get a demerit. And I was in the center, and the student left her flag up, so the student next to her said, quick, think of something to say, so when the teacher comes back, you won't get a demerit. Well, that's exactly what we're not wanting to do. We don't want to teach them to be con artists. So don't rule your students to death in the personal studies classes. And I agree with Christy. Now, there are times when students do. They're just obnoxious. They're using it as a point of rebellion, and they're just not... they're not showing respect to the other students, and that's not acceptable. But if we have a rule for every little thing, I think that it can detract from what we're really trying to accomplish, and that is the most important, just like what Jesus said to Martha when Mary and Martha were there, and Martha was all upset because Mary wasn't helping her. Jesus says, you're worried about many things, but only one thing is important. And really, the same thing is true of us. We can get so worried about having everything operate just so that we forget about the one thing that is really important, is that these students touch God. And so, depending on the centers, the rules will be different. But I think that we need to... I know one place they had, you know, several pages of rules for students in the PACE classroom. And I don't think that that is really what is the absolutely essential to be able to make for the smooth running of the classes. Are there any other comments you want to make about operating the first and fourth class?
Yeah, just one comment. We have, I'm sure most programs do have different rules according to dress code. But we have a dress code for our classroom. In all of our class sessions, our classes are held in the morning in our center. And we require that the men all have dress slacks on and a nice shirt. No T-shirts are allowed. It either has to be a sweater or a collared shirt. And we have the same requirement for the staff, the teachers. We don't allow any of the staff or students to wear sneakers either. They need to have dress shoes. And we find that that is very helpful to promoting a learning atmosphere. And we these hold very strictly to that requirement.
Mm-hmm. We want it to be an atmosphere where they really recognize that this is important. This is not just a time filler, but this is really an important part of their lives. So there is a need for balance. We want to have freedom in that classroom, but at the same time, we don't want sloppiness of people just taking advantage of just hanging out or just crashing there and not really applying themselves. There's one little phrase that I've heard which I believe is very appropriate, and that is to demand excellence of your students and then model excellence in your own way of dealing with them. And I think that as we work for excellence in their lives and challenge them to do that, that we can really have an impact on their lives through the personal studies classes. Okay, well, that brings to a close then this session, Operating the Personal Studies for New Christians classes.